My brothers and sisters, today is the first Sunday of Advent. Today we're celebrating the start of a new year in the life of the church. Today we begin 4 weeks of waiting in joyful hope and preparing for the single most important and life-changing events in the history of the entire human race. The incarnation of Christ, the birth of God's presence within us, God's participation with us in our history, in our own lives, and in our world. Now, isn't that the most wonderful, the most joy-filled happening that anyone could possibly ever imagine? So why then do we begin our Advent season on such a down note? With Jesus warning us about many unusual and perplexing signs, earth-shattering events and trials and tribulations of every sort. And also warning us to stay alert, watchful, listening, and remaining vigilant. Now, if we think that the coming or birthing of Christ is only about the birth of Jesus in a stable in Bethlehem, or if we think that it's only about some great cataclysmic event that will suddenly appear in the sky at the end of time, then it's certainly understandable how we would quickly become distracted and discouraged with our watching and our waiting and our listening, and begin to busy ourselves with the more practical and immediate concerns, with all the anxieties of our everyday lives. I mean, it's only human, right? So what I would like to do is take another look at the deeper ramifications of just what Jesus is talking about when he suggests that the day of his coming may happen unexpectedly, catching us all by surprise, or even like a trap. So I'd like to start off with this little story about what it means to be alert and watchful and to be prepared. It was high noon in Manhattan, and the streets were, as usual, buzzing with crowds. Cars, taxis, horns blowing, brakes screeching, sirens wailing. Two men were making their way along through the crowd. One was a native New Yorker, and the other a visiting farmer from Kansas. Suddenly, the farmer stopped in his tracks. "Hold on," he said. "I hear a cricket." His friend replied, "Are you kidding? Even if there were a cricket around here, which isn't very likely, we would never be able to hear it over all this noise." The farmer remained quiet for a few moments. Then he walked several paces to the corner where a bush was growing in a large cement planter. He turned several leaves over and found the cricket. The city man was flabbergasted. "What great ears you have," he said. "No," the farmer replied. "It's a matter of what you've been conditioned to listen for. Look, I'll show you." With that, he pulled a handful of coins from his pocket and let them drop to the sidewalk. As if on signal, every head on the block turned. "You see," said the farmer, "you hear what you want to hear. It's all a matter of what you're listening for." So, my sisters and brothers, Jesus' message is for you and for me to remain alert, watchful, and prepared for the birthing of Christ. His coming, His incarnation in us and in our world. And believe it or not, both you and I have invariably missed it. And not just once, but probably many times over. But how can that be? How do we miss it? Well, remember what I said earlier. The coming of the Lord is much more than just His birth in Bethlehem or some great cataclysmic event that will suddenly appear in the sky, catching us all unaware at the end of time. We must be ever watchful and alert, because there are many birthings, many comings of Christ, certainly inside the stable in Bethlehem, and for sure coming on the last day at the end of time. Those are the two great comings of Christ, but also in more countless ways than we could ever have imagined. Right here and right now in our everyday lives. You might even say there's a cricket under every bush or leaf. Let me tell you another story to illustrate this very important point. About 5.5 years ago, I had a quadruple bypass surgery. Now, this story is true. So after 5 days of an induced coma and a few more days in the hospital, I finally was allowed to go home. And I figured, well, I'm out of the woods now. I can start concentrating on recovery. But guess what? 6 weeks later, I developed fluid under the incision. And so I had to go back for another surgery. As bad as that sounds, and as much as I hated that. Well, now, this surgery wasn't near as traumatic as the first one, and so after an hour or so, I woke up in the same recovery room at St. Luke's Hospital that I'd been in before. I was extremely exhausted when I woke up, but I couldn't sleep. Because if you've ever been in the recovery room at St. Luke's, well, you can't imagine all the noise that's in there. I mean, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Beep, 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 beep. You see, the beds are lined up and down both sides of the hall, this narrow hall. And the alarms just kept going off. Over and over again. And every time I try to sleep, every time I just start to drift off. Waves of nurses and doctors had come running. It was terrible. It was awful. It was just awful. I was lying there. I started praying. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, Lord, please, please. Help me get to sleep. This is awful. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, I had this thought. This little voice came inside my head and it said, you know, those alarms, Jim, those are your brothers and sisters. They're in need. There's a problem. They need help. And they need your prayer. I thought, wow, you're right. That's true. So I started praying. Every time I heard the alarms go off, I started praying. Then, believe it or not, I started found myself before long, I was lying there listening for the sounds to go off so that I could pray for someone else. Oh, there's another one. Beep, boop. Lord, help the nurse get there quickly. Help that person. Help them find the right solution and get the problem fixed. And don't let them suffer anymore, Lord. Now, you know what happened? It wasn't 10 minutes or so, and I went fast asleep. Very peaceful. I felt good. So what happened? What was going on there? Well, you see, every time that you or I focus on our own selves, on our problems, on our cares or our trials and tribulations, like all those trials and tribulations in our gospel today, what happens? It just gets worse. We get fearful and even more perplexed. But when we tune in to that voice of love and compassion and care that's inside of us always, the voice that reminds us of our oneness, our communion with each other and with Christ, then guess what? A great healing takes place. And not just a healing in those that we care for or pray for, but also a great healing within our own selves as well. Think about it. Now, you remember the little cricket in our story earlier? Well, do you know what the chirping of a cricket is all about? That chirping sound is actually a mating call. The cricket is singing a love song to its mate. It's singing to its lover, "Come and join me in a communion of joy that will bring happiness and new life to the world for everyone to enjoy." Well, you know, God is like that little cricket. God is a lover singing out to us a love song. God is saying to you and to me, let's you and I join together to give birth to new life, new meaning, new hope, and a new joy to a world that is desperate for all of those things, in desperate need. That's the incarnation of Christ. That's the Lord coming into the world over and over again from the most unlikely places, inviting you and me into a communion with God and with each other and with all of creation. A birthing of Christ within us that will turn even our most unlikely and frightening circumstances into incredibly meaningful experiences where we will find new and lasting life. And so during this Advent season, my friends, as we begin to watch, listen, and prepare for the birthing of Christ, may the Lord make you and me increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so as to strengthen our hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones. Amen. Amen.